Okay, what's up, guys? It's Nathan Serrato.
And Jerry.
And today we're going to be talking about cell respiration and cell fermentation.
It is about the breakdown of glucose.
Yeah. So pretty much the reason why we need this is, like Jerry said, it is the breakdown of glucose. And to dive deeper into the subject, breaking down glucose produces ATP, and ATP is needed in practically all cell actions. Ain't that right, Jerry?
Yeah. ATP gives you heat, and heat is what keeps you alive.
Yeah. One example of how important ATP is cyanide. Just blocking off ATP from the body is very deadly. And it will kill you almost immediately. Today we're gonna be talking about three main ways ATP is created. Jerry, list them off.
So the first one is glycolysis, that requires no oxygen and give you 2 ATP to start the reaction. And then it comes to the Krebs cycle and electron. During the Krebs cycle, the actual breakdown of glucose is happening. And then the last step, which is the most important step, electron transport. In that step, it generates 36 ATP, which is a lot.
So, right now, the portion that we're talking about is ATP. So, why are we talking about ATP, and how does this relate to our topic?
So, the ATP is a goal of cell fermentation. Like we talked about in the introduction part, ATP is very essential for the living of human being. So we need first to understand ATP so we can understand cell fermentation and respiration.
So ATP, the acronym, is long, or said all the way out, is adenosine triphosphate, and it is a complex organic chemical that participates in many processes.
In all forms of life, ATP is often referred as the molecular unit of currency. ATP is about 0.1 mole.
When consumed in metabolic processes, it converts to either the di or monophosphates. Di stands for 2 and mono stands for 1, respectively ADP and AMP. Other processes regenerate ATP such that the human body recycles its own body weight equivalent in ATP each day. It is also a precursor to DNA and RNA.
So you might ask, so what does exactly ATP do?
ATP transports energy and stores energy. When it breaks down, it releases energy.
Not only that, ATP is the main energy resource for the majority of cellular function. It supports basically all the cell functions, including generates heat, creating more cell. So it's like the powerhouse for cell.
ATP also plays a critical role in the active transport of macromolecules across cell membranes. So, to recap on some past conversations me and Jerry had, we're going to talk about why we need cellular respiration again, and we're going to add some more.
It's going to be so deep.
Yeah, some more.
Some college stuff.
More in-deep stuff. So, something to start off is cellular respiration is important because it provides the energy for living organisms to perform all the other necessary functions to maintain life. Most single-celled organisms, such as bacteria, do not require much energy and are able to survive on glycolysis and fermentation.
So, one of the things really important about cellular respiration is without this, like 80% of the animal will not exist. So cellular respiration has some strong advantage. It is very efficient. It creates 38 ATP in short amount of time, and it requires such low energy. And the material it requires for this process to happen is really easy to find. It requires two critical ingredients.
Those two critical ingredients are glucose and oxygen. The glucose used in cellular respiration enters cells in a variety of ways. Plants, algae, certain bacteria make their own glucose through photosynthesis, the process by which plants use light to convert carbon dioxide and water into sugar.
So basically, every living animal have access to those two ingredients, which is oxygen and glucose. You basically can get them by breathing and just eating food. So that's why cellular respiration is really important. Yeah.
So in this segment of the show or the podcast that me and Jerry have started is the first step on how cellular respiration works. So the first step is glycolysis, and Jerry's going to explain to us how it works.
So glycolysis takes place in the cytosol of a cell, and it can be broken down into two main phases. Glycolysis can be very hard to understand, so Nathan and I are going to try to simplify the complex process of glycolysis. So the two phases are energy release requiring states and the energy releasing phase. Now Nathan's going to talk about energy requiring phase.
So in this phase, the starting molecule of glucose gets rearranged, and two phosphate groups are attached to it. The phosphate groups make the modified sugar, now called fructose 1,6 biphosphate, unstable, allowing it to split in half and form two phosphate-bearing 3-carbon sugars. Because the phosphate used in these steps come from ATP, two ATP molecules get used up. Jerry's going to explain the next segment.
So, after the energy is consumed, there's the releasing phase. In this phase, each 3-carbon sugar is converted into another 3-carbon molecule through a series of reactions. In this reaction, two ATP molecules and one NADH molecule are made. Because in this phase take place twice, one of each of the 2-3 carbon sugars, it makes 4 ATP and 2 NADH overall.
So something that Joey forgot to include is what the 3-carbon molecule is called when 3-carbon sugar is converted into into 3-carbon molecule. The 3-carbon molecule is called pyruvate. What's up, guys? In this segment of the podcast, we are going to review the first 10 minutes of what we talked about in the podcast. So, to start it off, Jerry, list them off.
So, we talked about many interesting things about cellular respiration in the first 10 minutes of our podcast. First, we talked about the importance of ATP. Nathan, how about you tell us why is ATP so important?
So ATP, what you need to remember mostly, is that it is the main energy source for the majority of all cellular functions.
which is very, very important. And without it, it is deadly. It is lethal.
And then talked about cellular respiration, the importance of cellular respiration.
So why cellular respiration is so important is that it creates ATP. And just previously, I talked about how important ATP is for everything that your body does.
And then we talked about the first step of cellular respiration, which is glycolysis.
So, like Jerry said, the first step is glycolysis. And what you need to remember is that it happens in the cytosol of the cell. And it is broken down into two main phases, the energy-requiring phase and the energy-releasing phase. And glycolysis is one of the parts of cellular respiration that creates ATP.
And we also talked about the steps of glycolysis. So I hope you guys still remember that.
What's up, guys? So in this section of the podcast, we are going to talk about the second step of
cellular respiration.
So the second step of cellular respiration is the Krebs cycle, and it's right after glycolysis. And you're probably wondering what happens during the Krebs cycle. And pretty much the Krebs cycle, it creates ATP, Gary.
It extracts the energy from the cell. So it extracts the energy and create like ATP. Continue, yeah. Nathan.
So in the Krebs cycle, we're going to be talking about step by step of how the Krebs cycle works. So during the Krebs cycle, pyruvic acid is broken down into carbon dioxide in a series of energy extracting reactions. The Krebs cycle begins when pyruvic acid produced by glycolysis enters the mitochondria.
One carbon molecule is removed, forming CO2, which is carbon dioxide, and electrons are removed, changing NAD plus negative positive to NADH.
Coenzyme A joins the two carbon molecule, forming acetyl-CoA. Acetyl-CoA then adds the two-carbon acetyl group to a four-carbon compound, forming citric acid. And this is probably where the nickname for the Krebs cycle, citric acid cycle, comes from, probably.
Just by the way, Krebs cycle also can be called as the citric acid cycle. Fun fact. Citric acid is broken down into a 5-carbon compound, then into a 4-carbon compound.
Two more molecules of CO2 are released, and electrons join NAD positive and FAD, forming NADH and FADH.
In addition, one molecule of ATP is generated.
All in all, the energy totality from one molecule of pyruvic acid is 4 NADH, 1 FADH2, and most importantly, 1 ATP. And that's pretty much it for the Krebs cycle.
And so pretty much the summary is two molecules of carbon dioxide are given off, one molecule of ATP is formed, and three molecules of NAD positive are combined with hydrogen, and one molecule of FAD combines with hydrogen. So that's basically what happened.
So, welcome back. This is our third and final step of cellular respiration. Let's go. Good stuff. So, the third step from cellular respiration is electron transport. And this step creates
34 ATP. It gives you the most ATP. Thus, it is the most important step of the cellular respiration. You're welcome, Nathan.
So,
So Nathan, how about you tell us, like, what was some electron transport about?
So the basic overview is electrons carried by NADH and FADH, which is from the last portion of of our segment, which was the Krebs cycle. So the stuff we created from the Krebs cycle is then used in cellular respiration in electron transport, and pretty much NADH and FADH from the Krebs cycle are sent down electron transport chains. In the process, the electrons lose energy, which is used to pump hydrogen ions across a membrane inside the mitochondria. At the end of the chain, the electrons combine with O2 to make water. The concentration gradient generated by pumping hydrogen ions is used to make ATP. And as you can see, this is the reason why it makes so much ATP, because it's combined with other steps.
So what's really unique about cellular respiration is each step is connected to each other. For example, the electron transport, the step, uses the Krebs cycle's energy to convert ADP to ATP, which creates more ATP.
So now me and Jerry are going to get into a more in-depth analysis of how electron transport works. So high energy electrons from NADH and FADH are passed along the electron transport chain from one carrier protein to the next. At the end of a chain, an enzyme combines these electrons with hydrogen ions and oxygen to form water.
As a final electron acceptor of the electron transport chain, oxygen gets rid of the low energy electron and hydrogen ions. So this step basically requires light and oxygen.
When two high energy electrons move down the electron transport chain, their energy is used to move hydrogen ions, H positive, across the membrane.
So during electron transport, H positive ions builds up in the intermembrane space. So the intermembrane is basically like a tube. So it is positively charged.
The other side of the membrane from which those H positive ions are taken is now negatively charged. The inner membranes of the mitochondria contain protein spheres called ATP synthesis. As H-positive ions escape through channels into these proteins, the ATP synthase spins.
As it rotates, the enzyme grabs a low-energy ATP, attaching a phosphate, forming a high-energy ATP.
And from that, you could tell, like, high-energy ATP is really needed and super useful. ATP, like I said in almost all of the segments, is very useful because it provides energy for all cellular processes.
So in summary, electron transport is basically add up all the stuff we got from like the previous steps. It adds them to ATP, which generates a lot of ATP.
What's up, guys? So welcome to the last segments of our podcast. And pretty much, it's been a long journey, and I'm happy we made it through everything.
I need to thank you guys to suffer through those 20 minutes of awkward and miserable experience of listening to us talk very unprofessionally.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you for that. So now in this segment, we are going to review or do a summary of everything we talked about so far. We're going to be talking about ACP. And all the steps of cellular respiration. So you need to remember that cellular respiration, the main goal of cellular respiration is to make ATP, and ATP is important for all cell functions.
So ATP, it provides energy for all cells. Without ATP, like Nathan said in the introduction part, we'll surely die.
So now, after you realize how important the ATP is, we're going to show you guys how the three ways that ATP is created. Remember the three steps of cellular respiration, which are glycolysis. Jerry, say it with me. Krebs cycle. There you go.
And electron transport.
Yeah. And Krebs cycle is also known as the citric acid cycle. So I'm going to tell you some main things you need to remember from each subject. So glycolysis, you need to remember, requires no oxygen. Takes place in the cytoplasm,
and it's when the glucose molecule is split into two molecules of pyruvic acid, releasing two molecules of ATP. The Krebs cycle, aka the citric acid cycle, happens in the cell mitochondria. It creates two ATP. During the Krebs cycle, pyruvic acid is broken down into carbon dioxide in a series of energy extracting reactions.
Cellular respiration is the most efficient way of generating ATP. The stuff it needs is really easy to get. You can get it from food and just breathing. It is really good for small animals and plants. So it basically requires two things, oxygen and glucose.
So cellular respiration, it uses some of the ingredients from the Krebs cycle, the leftover ingredients from the Krebs cycle, and it uses that to make ATP. Like Joey said, electron transport is the most efficient way to make ATP. And all in all, from glycolysis and everything, it creates 38 ATP in general. And pretty much 34 of the ATP is from electron transport, which shows how important the electron transport is. And glycolysis only creates 2 ATP. And the Krebs cycle also only creates 2 ATP.
So in summary, this whole process, using very little material, it creates 38 ATP, which is a large amount of ATP.
After all that, thank you for listening to our podcast, and I hope you guys enjoyed our voices.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.